Before we get into our special finale recap of Survivor Winners at War on the Survivor Know-It-Alls, let me take a moment and thank our sponsor for this episode of the podcast. Those are our friends over at DC Universe. The way that you stream is about to change forever. I found an amazing service called DC Universe, and it is truly the ultimate DC membership. As a DC fan, there's honestly no cooler way to spend your day. Watch DC content, plus read nearly 23,000 DC comics all in one place. And get this, you can even connect with other DC fans, join their community to experience their member-only exclusive events, and so much more. You think it couldn't get any better, right? Wrong. They've just introduced DC Universe Rewards. Earn tokens like Natalie to receive exclusive DC swag and more. All you have to do is explore the content you already love. Like, seriously, how sweet is that? I'm telling you. You have to try DC Universe. Their adult animated series, Harley Quinn, will make you laugh until it hurts. Their newest series, Stargirl, premieres May 18th. And I gotta admit, I'm pretty geeked out about it. Don't forget to check out their other originals, Doom Patrol, Titans, Swamp Thing, and Young Justice Outsiders. Then catch up on DC News with DC Daily. If you're ready to experience awesomeness, join DC Universe today to get a free 7-day trial plus 15% off your first 3 months. Visit DCUniverse.com. /hellopod and enter Rob at checkout. That's DCUniverse.com/HELLOPOD. That's DCUniverse.com/hellopod. Enter promo code Rob at checkout. Valid for monthly subscription only. Offer expires June 30th, 2020.
The smartest guys around. We're about to break it down like they've won the game a million times.
Well, actually, they didn't really win the game at all.
Survivor Know-It-Alls.
Yes, that's right. The Survivor Know-It-Alls are live after the Survivor 40 finale. Oh my God, Stephen Fishback.
Wow. I never would have predicted this. I mean, I've said it before 100 times. Like, the one guy who nobody took in my Survivor pool was Tony, the only winner not selected. For him to pull it out like this, unbelievable. Such an incredible game he played. You know, four immunity wins, just like a huge strategic season.
Oh my God.
Spy shacks in the trees. I just, what a coup, you know, one of the great games against possibly the greatest group of players ever assembled. I really think this has got to go down as like one of the best Survivor games ever played.
Whoa. Oh my God. Oh man. Wow.
Ooh, can you explain that to me? I felt like I was missing something essential about this season by not getting the hollering.
Tony's yelling. I don't know. I can't explain it. Up is down. Down is up. The world is crazy. Tony is a 2-time Survivor winner. Tony Vlachos is the most winningest game show contestant in the history. Is there a Jeopardy person that's won more than him? No, right?
No, but I thought there was like someone who won like Greed or something who'd won like more than three million dollars. There's got to be someone who's won more than $3 million.
Where's God.
Jennings at? This seems like a very Googleable biggest right. game Google show winner of all time.
Steven, what a night. Congratulations to Tony and congratulations to Natalie and Michelle as well. I thought this was the best Survivor finale. How about that? Maybe now, since the first one.
Because there was no reunion?
I don't know. Look, the reunion, like take the reunion aside. The actual, I find more often than not, the Survivor finale episode can be a little bit of a boring affair.
Yeah.
This was so exciting and also so satisfying that
yes.
I was thoroughly entertained for 3 hours. It would have been great to get another hour where we caught up with everybody, but I thought this was the best Survivor finale episode that I mean, maybe I'm missing one, but as I've been doing this for, 10 plus years now, I can't think of one of these that I enjoyed more than this one.
You're hoarse from yelling about it, Rob.
No,
I can hear it.
I'm hoarse from yelling at my kids.
Listen, I kind of agree with you. I don't want to rank it, but I do think it was such a powerful episode. You know, they had a lot of time to play with because they didn't have the reunion, and they didn't have the recap, which for it was very fortunate. And as a result, I felt like they really had so many powerful human moments that those relationships between Ben and Sarah, which we'll talk about, that moment was crazy. Where Ben gave Sarah permission to vote him out, which I'm still like wrapping my head around. Obviously, when Tony eliminated Sarah, that was such a powerful moment. Seeing some of those guys on the edge talk about what Survivor meant to him, you know, I lost it when Tyson was talking. I mean, just so many powerful, like really human moments at the same time, like great big gameplay too. I can't think of, you know, offhand. The Survivor finale often does feel super rushed. It's like it feels like a lot of like stuff is packed in, and I feel like this one really was able to breathe. Like it was like a fine wine, you know, could really breathe.
Yeah, usually, and especially really since in the 30s, the Survivor finales have often been so rushed because we have six people to get to, and then we've got to get to the reunion show, so we have so much going on in a shortened period of time. We were able to sort of like really use the full 3 hours here to tell this story, and it was really unpredictable. I really was very nervous about everything the entire way. Everybody was a worthy person that got towards the end of the game, so it was really exciting. The fire making between Tony and Sarah also went back and forth
a bunch of times.
At one point, I was really convinced Sarah was going to win as the night was going on. So this was just such a wild night, and I'm so excited to get to talk about it here with you. I am also super excited that I am scheduled to speak with the final three. That would be Tony, Natalie, and Michelle. I'm going to talk with them on Thursday, so look for that podcast, and we'll try to bring you more interviews as we go along. I also am looking forward to doing longer deep dive interviews with as many people as possible, so if you know people that are interested in those, be sure to pass the word along for that. Then on Thursday, I will be doing a feedback show with Ali Lasher, so very excited about that. Get your feedback questions in for that show. Kellen Bechtold will be on This Week in Survivor. We'll get into the final wand off as well. So a ton to do, Stephen, as we unpack all of this. Stephen, okay, quick, let me give you my hottest take at this hour.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Chris Underwood had to win The Edge of Extinction for Tony to win Season 40 Winners at War.
I don't think it's necessarily false. I mean, I do think I'm not sure I totally agree with that, because I do think that if the finale of season 40 had been like Devins versus Chris Underwood, it wouldn't have been necessarily Chris. You know, I think the fact that he went up against someone like like Julian Gavin, I think that maybe made it more likely for him to win. I hear what you're saying. I do think that's an interesting take, you know, that there was this inherent kind of backlash against the edge winner.
Not just backlash, but also, oh, she didn't even make the fire. I mean, come on.
That's interesting.
You got to make the fire.
He set the bar so high.
You didn't go all the way. If you really wanted to beat Tony, you got to make the fire.
Oh, that's really interesting. I think that's a really great take.
Wow, Steven. Oh, let me write this down. What's
that, May 13th? Just clip it. Add it to the soundboard.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, because that's really interesting. You're right. Like, by doing so much to justify his win, anything less is like shown to be a subpar returnee game. That's really an interesting take. I still think Tony, like, just because like he had, you know, he had such a stellar game. He had so many people rooting for him on the jury. He had such a great final tribal council performance, which I'm really excited to talk to you about. But I think that's a really interesting take. Like the Chris set the bar so high that Natalie, like if Natalie didn't live up to that bar, it made it harder to vote for her.
Yeah. So thank you. I'm very happy that you agreed with that. And for anybody that would have been upset with an outcome of the Edge of Extinction person winning this season, be sure to write Chris Underwood a thank you note for winning the Edge of Extinction and making it so that the Edge of Extinction person would not win season 40 of Survivor. Okay.
Yeah. I wonder, like, it actually sounded like there was a faction, right, with Boston Rob kind of speaking for that faction, that was looking for an excuse to vote for Natalie. And if she had gone full out, they might have done it.
Yep. I know just from talking with Boston Rob at one of these, don't count me in the Poker Player Alliance, but I had been talking with Rob, I think it was right after Ghost Island, and Boston Rob, I think this was pre-Chris Underwood, he said, hey, you know, Dominic should have made the fire against Wendell if he wanted to win. So Boston Rob is really dug in on the, if you want to win, put yourself into the fire. You know, Rob is a fire maker. I think that,
but he's
that,
always,
it was, I kind of feel like that it was, you know, the all in move. You know, I feel like that Chris laid out the groundwork. I feel like she kind of has to do that.
Yeah. And I also thought she sort of like half sold this idea of like, I wanted to take apart this alliance. Yeah. I think maybe if she'd leaned into that a little bit more, you know, she was like, yeah, you know, maybe I should have done that. But like, I kind of didn't want to. I was a little bit nervous. Also, I like this idea of taking apart the alliance. Like, what if she had just come out and said, hey, my game, I needed to prove I was like the best strategist out here. Yeah. The way for me to do that would be to pick apart this alliance that has run the game and eliminated all of you. So I did that. I got out three of them. There's only one of them standing, and now I'm going to beat him tonight. Like, maybe like own that a little more, because so much of it is narrative, right? Like, so much of winning Survivor is like telling a story about why you deserve to win. And I felt like the fact that she kind of like waffled on this key issue was hurt her game.
Yep. And Tony was vulnerable. He could have gone into that. It definitely was setting it up like Tony was not the greatest fire maker that there ever was. We have no idea how Natalie is at ultimately doing the fire. I can definitely talk to her about that when I get the chance to speak to her. But let's make it be about Tony, because it was really Tony's night and Tony's historic win. Was there anything that Tony did tonight that particularly impressed you here in the home stretch?
Gosh, I mean, you know, certainly winning immunity at a key point was big, right? It certainly could have been him that night. I mean, you know, almost setting the forest on fire. Mm-hmm. Granted, he didn't get the idol, but like the fact that he was out there in the night with his like literally like building a fire in the middle of a forest, putting his hand. I mean, that always freaks me out. Like, there's snakes in those woods, you know, like if you put your hand in these things, like there easily could be some kind of jungle critter. You know, I thought his read on Natalie having an idol, which was crazy. Like, we got to talk about that. Because that was a crazy moment.
Yeah,
where Tony says Natalie has to have an idol. She's coming back. Like, of course she's got an idol. They know that people can buy idols at the Edge at this point, right? Like, they must have learned that from Tyson. And Ben and Sarah say, no, absolutely not. No idol, no idol, no idol. They're not willing to split the votes to protect against that. Because they don't want to like hurt Denise's feelings, even though theoretically they're thinking of voting her out next. So I didn't totally like, let's like talk me through it, Rob.
Yeah, no, Tony totally had the correct read on that. And it was really like a self-preservation move for Sarah. And I thought this was Sarah's worst moment of a really great night for Sarah when she tells us in confessional, she's like, you know how I know Natalie doesn't have an idol? Because we made a bond, and if she had one, I would know it. You know, she would have told me, and I would know. And Tony was the one saying like, no, you guys, we got to vote together. Cause you got to trust me. And Tony was trying to pull off a 3-2-1, which would have worked there. Ultimately would have changed a lot of things where Tony and Ben don't have to play their idol. I wonder if that factored into where, you know, that he was wrong about that. Ben having to play his idol at the final six ultimately was one of the reasons why he made the decision that he made at the final five. But Tony was dead on at that final six. And that was that was another really exciting tribal council. All the tribal councils, all three of them in this episode, were actually like a really compelling and interesting.
Yes, totally. And, you know, my only take, first of all, the one thing I do want to say was like, it sure seemed like they had no good reason not to split the votes. As someone who has been on the other side of that, where everyone on Twitter is saying, like, how could you be so stupid?
Just let's be clear about this, because they could have done a 2-2-2. right?
Right.
And they could have done a all three, Ben, Sarah, and Tony vote for Denise. So which are you proposing? 2-2-2?
I like Tony's idea of the 2-2-2 because it was very neat. It didn't really, you know, kind of like obviated where the other like votes went. You know, they knew that they weren't getting voted out, right? That was the only important thing. Yeah. So like, you know, I do think there's always like a reason in the Survivor player, you know, you see like one brief clip from Sarah saying like, here's why I'm not doing it. She's probably run this scenario 100 different times, has factored into how it plays out in the end game. You know, I assume that there's a lot more rationale for like a momentous decision like this. But one thought I had was that this was coming right on the heels of Sarah learning that everyone at Edge thought Tony was playing the better game. And so Sarah suddenly is thinking like, you know, why are they not seeing my game? You know, what is it about my game? And so I sort of felt like maybe some of her defenses might have been up there in terms of like the type of game she was playing. So for her, she really had to kind of, you know, she really needed to sort of feel vindicated in this idea that like, hey, my social game is actually superior to Tony's like crazy, let's like put votes in a billion places game. And so she was like trusting her social read, obviously incorrectly, over Tony's sort of like strategic smell.
Yeah. I wonder if it was a 2-2-2, not to get too much in the weeds on this, would that have worked? How would that have gone? Because then you need Denise and Ben to be voting for. Michelle is immune, so they're going to put their votes on Natalie, and then Tony and Sarah would put their votes on Ben or Denise.
Or Tony and Ben are putting their votes on Denise, I think.
I think Ben wouldn't vote for Denise. I think that was...
Well, that was what stopped the thing. Yeah. But if they were doing this 2-2-2, I mean, what Tony had proposed was, I think, him and Ben putting their votes on Denise, Sarah and Denise putting their votes on Natalie, and then it wouldn't matter what happened with the other votes because, you know, they could never get enough votes to vote out Sarah, Ben, or Tony. You know, maybe they would vote out Denise, but it wouldn't have mattered. We should also talk, I mean, so that was clearly wrong. We should also talk about that revote where, they chose, where Michelle and Natalie chose to vote out Denise instead of making a tie with Sarah. Do you have any thoughts about why they chose that?
No, I don't. I actually thought they made a bad, now again, it worked. So I don't know if it was that, Lacina's, discussion about gender maybe made them feel like, hey, okay, well, Sarah may want to do an all women thing. And so maybe, maybe it feels like, you know, Natalie had a relationship with Sarah. Seemingly, maybe let's keep Sarah in the game, whereas maybe Denise gave a little bit more of a stonewall to Natalie, who was Denise was one of the people I believe that voted against Natalie at that first tribal council. So maybe there's some sort of a beef there, and that's why she wanted to vote her out. I don't know why they didn't at least force the tie, because to me, I feel like that. And again, Sarah does vote with them at the final five after the conversation with Ben, but they have no way of knowing that Ben is going to ultimately give Sarah permission to vote him out of the game. I wasn't sure why they didn't force a fire making challenge there to potentially, if Natalie's plan is, hey, I got to break up Sarah and Ben and Tony. I don't know how much she looked at Denise as an integral part of that group.
Yeah, I mean, my read was the same as yours, that like the only rationale would be that they thought there was a bigger chance that Sarah was looking for a way to distinguish herself from Tony and would be more willing to make a move at the final five. Maybe there's, you know, maybe there was some heat around Denise as a potential winner, right? Like maybe there was some Edge sentiment that Denise as the Queen Slayer had enough of a resume to justify a win. And maybe they felt like, hey, Sarah's probably less of a threat to win than Denise is. So that could have factored into their thinking as well.
Yeah. So that was a very interesting vote at the final six. Ultimately, then Tony and Ben and Natalie all have to play their idols there at the final six, which gets us to the final five. And we have a really interesting sequence where Tony ends up working with in concert with Sarah. We see the full use of the spy nest, which makes me wonder if last week when we saw Tony up in the spy nest and Sarah with Denise and Ben talking about their final four, you have to wonder if Sarah knew if Tony was up in the tree during that conversation too.
I figured Sarah, if you're Sarah, you're like always like checking the tree when you're by the well, right? You're like looking in the You know what was funny about that, though? Like, yes, that was a great scene, and it was a very funny scene, but, like, the spy nest part of it was a little bit irrelevant, you know? Where, like, so Tony says to Sarah, okay, like, talk to Michelle, figure out what her plans are, and, like, bring her to the well, and I'll be in my spy nest. Like, you don't need the Tony in the spy nest if, like, Sarah is there anyway, and we're, like, trusting Sarah to, like, report what she learns.
Yeah, but, you know, if you're Sarah, I think you want Tony up in the spy nest.
That's true.
It's like, hey,
yeah.
Like, I'm gonna go have my personal conversation. I know where he is. I know he's listening. I know he's right there. I know he's not sneaking up on me. I know he's not looking for an idol. Like, I've got to, like, I think that's almost like best case scenario, where it's like, you know, it's like if I give my kid an iPad as opposed to giving them, like, free reign of the house. I know where that kid is. I gave him an iPad. He's watching Ryan's toy review and cackling like a maniac. I know exactly what he's doing.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. And then also, it's just fun, you know? And I think that was something that what makes Tony so great is that he's a great TV character in addition to being like a great player. Yeah. Like he just brings a lot of like humor and like fun to the show in a way that, like, you know, so like the best characters do, like, you know, that he's a really great player as we saw, but he also brings a lot of joy. And, you know, I sort of tweeted something about this earlier, and I was like, well, why, you know, what's the importance of the spy shack? And I think maybe it was David Bloomberg actually wrote back saying the importance of the spy nest there so you can tell the jury a funny story. And I think there's like an up part of
they
it that, that, that that's true
it.
Yeah, like being like, you do the crazy thing and then you can like say to the jury, oh yeah, hey, I had this spy nest and I was like learning all this stuff and like I was like using it to affect my game.
Yeah,
you know, and that's great.
Yeah, you need anecdotes. It's like a job interview.
It really is. Like, yeah, you know, it's we talk about this a lot. Hey, you have to be able to tell a story about yourself. But like with Tony, I can't think of a final Tribal Council performance. And I don't mean to jump around too much here, but like where Tony like did not answer the questions that was asked of him at all. He would just like use them as opportunities to like share funny anecdotes and crack the jury up. And that's great. That's what he needed. You know, that works.
Well, I wonder if that big jury, it's sort of like it helps to come in with like a tight five that you have. It's like a big crowd that you can really work. Yeah. Whereas it's like, not like there's a couple of people that are really angry with him. It really, to me, I thought it seemed like one of like the least angry and bitter final Tribal Council juries that I've ever seen. And I do wonder how much was it the size of that really helped to, you know, spread that out, or if it was a season where there was just so much going on and so many moves where that there weren't as many personal feelings that were hurt.
Yeah, it also could have just been the rain. Everyone was like super cold and miserable.
Yada yada yada. Okay.
It did seem that everyone kind of got the, you know, I feel like in a lot of recent seasons we've seen certainly one person be almost completely overlooked, and it felt like all three of these contestants got the chance to make their cases, which were all very different from each other. Like that was really fun to see, you know, Michelle sort of argue about how she played from the bottom and she kind of had to dodge and weave, you know, in that capacity, and Tony talk about his game, and then Natalie sort of talk about, you know, coming back from the edge and what like the challenges there. So it really felt interesting to see three different players present their three different games.
I was surprised that Michelle ended up getting no votes. I came very close to tweeting before the final Tribal Council. I said, I was like trying to do the math. I said, I feel like everybody here is getting at least three votes. I did not tweet that.
Good thinking.
I always feel like that way. I felt like that with Tommy and Dean and Nora. I'm like, oh, this is actually going to be tight. That
you thought Nora was going to get three votes?
I don't know. I was feeling Nora. I was there in the room. It was exciting. But you know, I was surprised that Michelle didn't end up picking up a vote here. And I wonder, Stephen, have we really as an author? Is this the perfect scenario for Michelle, where Michelle came from her first season, where people said this was a controversial win? Oh, maybe she shouldn't have won. To now, the full season, Michelle didn't get enough credit.
Listen, I mean, getting no votes sucks,
Michelle,
and especially with a jury.
Yeah, more votes.
Yeah, especially with I don't know. I you know, just give her a vote. You know, Nick, give her a vote.
I really was surprised that she didn't get a vote. Not from Nick, not from Wendell, Parvati. You know, she kind of got screwed by Natalie getting back in. I think she had that Jeremy vote. She had that. It was the one person. She
Brought
the Jeremy vote.
I feel like Jeremy's got to vote for Tony there. Like Jeremy is the like respect the big game guy.
He seemed annoyed with Tony.
Yeah, I was sort of surprised by that, actually, because, like, you know, his whole thing is, like, respecting the big game. I mean, I think, like, it makes sense that he voted for his friend Natalie, right?
He
like,
only votes that's for the Natalie. God. That's all. That's yeah. The only name he exactly. knows how to write down in the file.
Yeah.
That if he would have been voted out in second chances, I don't know. It would have made no sense.
But I honestly like I do think that the rain sort of affected the tenor of that. But like, you know, especially he did seem annoyed, but I felt like more than anything, he was probably just like cold, you know?
Yeah.
But I think it's fair to add, you know, if I actually thought his question was very good. Right. Like Tony's like, oh, I was actually loyal to you and I didn't want to, you know, like I didn't want to blindside you. And Jeremy was like, hello, like, you know, what about me? Like, yeah. You weren't loyal to me. Like, did you want to blindside me? You know, to sort of make that the Jeremy element of it really put a big hole in that part of Tony's argument.
But I did think that Tony was being truthful in that. I didn't think he was blowing smoke. And that Tony wanted to vote out Nick. It was only because Nick won immunity there that Tony ended up going with the plan to vote out Jeremy in that spot. I mean, what was Tony supposed to? I mean, it was a vote split between Jeremy and Michelle on that vote. I mean, that he was working with everybody else. I mean, that if it wasn't for the grace of Tony, Jeremy would have been out a couple of rounds earlier. So I thought that Tony really did do a solid for Jeremy more than a few times in this game. And I don't know why Natalie jumped in to say that Tony's relationship with Jeremy was inauthentic. She wasn't even there.
Right. But she, you know, I thought she was, I didn't necessarily think that she was saying that. I mean, we got to go back to the tape, but like she jumps in to say like that his lie, that his response was false. And he's like, no, you can't say that our relationship was false, you know, yeah. Like, and then she kind of backs down from that. And so like, I don't remember like what point she actually seemed to be quibbling with. Like maybe it was that he never wanted to blindside Jeremy or something.
Yeah.
Which, you know, which she probably knew to be, you know, not the case from like all the stories she'd heard at Edge. So, but you know, Tony's final answer there that, hey, I was scared of you, Jeremy. Like that's a pretty good answer.
Yeah. I thought that we were getting into some sort of like, weird stuff with the jury where it's like, hold on, when you were bonding with me, you were just bonding with me to where like, yeah, that's kind of what happens on Survivor, right? You get to know people and then you have a rapport with them and then you can vote with them. And it's not like, hey, I didn't only build rapport with you so I could vote with you. Like you were here and we talked.
Well, you know, what's funny is like, it's like all these people who that never happened to, like they were doing it to other people.
Yeah, yeah.
And then they're like, oh, it's like, oh, getting broken up with sucks. You know, like right. It's like people who have just always been the person doing the breaking up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Nick seemed upset about that at the final tribal council. It's like, no, this is what happens on Survivor.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, again, like they didn't know, like they were like, oh, wait, like yeah. I'm the one who uses relationships for my benefit. Mm-hmm. Like I don't get used.
Yeah. Let's go to the final five tribal council and talk about the Ben thing, because I know you brought it up earlier. So I thought that Dalton Ross had an interesting observation about this. He tweeted out about how he thought that Ben's move here, where he says to Sarah, I give you permission to vote me out, that this yeah. was a jury read by Ben, who said
that
basically
that he had no chance.
I can't win. I'm looking at the jury. I don't want to get raked over the coals by this jury. And so, Sarah, I think you've got a real shot at this. You're my friend. You take this. You take the shot and you go to the final three.
That was. Yeah. Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
No, I want to know what you thought about that, because I think that Ben is probably I've saw a lot on Twitter about how, oh, Ben is was basically quitting the game.
Well, people on Twitter will use any opportunity to rag on Ben. But I had the similar read as Dalton, which was that Ben recognized that he could not win the game.
Yeah.
And that there was just too much animosity towards him. And that, like, if he couldn't be him, why not let it be his friend Sarah? Now, the counter to that is, like, well, if you're so invested in your friend Sarah winning the game, like, A, join the jury. Oh, yes, we did. So, A, like, maybe try to put yourself in a position where you can help her win the game. You know, like, if he's in that final four with Sarah, he there's a lot more opportunity. He could take out Tony at fire making, right? Which is something we actually need to talk about. You know, the great Dom Harvey. Yeah, Dom Harvey. Sorry, I blanked on his last name for a second there. Tweeted that he thought Sarah lost the game when she voted out Ben, because having Ben there to eliminate Tony at fire making would have been, you know, had Ben been there, Natalie probably takes Sarah to the end and puts Ben in there to eliminate Tony at fire making. Sarah probably wins in that situation, right?
So let's just talk that through. So then because Sarah could have gone with Ben and Tony and then voted out Michelle, because Natalie ultimately played the idol for herself. That they basically, Michelle said, I think now you told them, so now they know that I'm going to be vulnerable. So that Sarah could have stuck with the guys and voted out Michelle. So she goes to the final four. Presumably Natalie wins that immunity still. I'm not sure if Ben would have been at that, but let's just say Natalie ultimately still wins it. So then what would Natalie do in that scenario with now she's with Sarah and Tony and Ben? Is she gonna take Ben to the final three?
No, so that was Dom's point, was that in that scenario, Natalie takes Sarah to the final three in order to leave Ben in the game
to beat Tony
at fire making. Then the final three is Natalie, Sarah, and Ben. And that's honestly the best chance that Sarah has, probably, right?
Yeah.
Although Natalie, you can see Natalie winning that one.
That's more, a little fourth dimensional thinking and knowing that Natalie's going to win that final four immunity.
No, of course. But I'm just saying, like, if you're Ben and you truly want to win the game, or like if you truly want to help your friend Sarah win the game, the best thing you can do is give her more chances by keeping yourself in the game, right? Like, I do agree with Dalton's point that was Ben's motivation, to like give Sarah a big resume point by switching sides, voting him out it would, again, like a bigger resume point if she'd taken out Tony, but it was a very noble gesture. It was sort of a beautiful, like, human gesture. Like, Ben recognized he couldn't win, was going to fall on his sword for his friend Sarah. So it didn't enrage me. But I do think that he actually probably would have helped her more had he stayed in.
Mm-hmm. So tell me, Steven, were you surprised to see that? Because I feel like that the Sarah and Ben relationship, while they were certainly like working together, I was a little bit blown away tonight that they have such a close friendship that seems like it's outside of the game.
Yeah, or just like, you know, maybe kindred spirits. They became super close in the game. It did seem like that relationship, the whole like Tony, Ben, Sarah trio kind of emerged. We're like, oh, wait, these guys are together, like, super tight together. Mm-hmm. Like, where did that come from?
Yeah.
You know, we did see, you know, when they were together at the swap, you know, Ben had that great confessional about how much he liked Sarah and how like close they were becoming. So, you know, I think that was just something that those bonds probably got deep really fast. I mean, I'm just trying to think through, like, if Ben stays in the game, then Sarah is like 100% guaranteed to be in the final three, right? Because Ben can take a dive at fire making if they eliminate Michelle. So like, he basically, cost Sarah his spot, her spot in the final three. But anyway,
nice gesture. It was a nice gesture.
It was a very nice gesture.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, and so that was an emotional moment. And then when we got to the final four, once Natalie ultimately wins immunity, then she's going to have to decide what she's going to do there. We see Tony and Sarah practicing for that final four challenge. We see Michelle practicing as well. Any second guess on sending Michelle into the final four challenge to beat Tony?
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that, because from what we saw on TV, it sure looked like Michelle was a stronger fire maker. The other thing is, I think if you are Natalie, you probably know that Sarah has right? I think let's say that Sarah has a better reputation with the jury than Michelle does.
Yes.
If that's the case, then what you want to take Sarah and then make her the like goat, you know, not that she'd be the goat, but put her in the goat position, and then put Michelle, who seems to be better at fire, up against Tony.
Which is so interesting, because Natalie, of course, was born into Survivor in Survivor San Juan del Sur, a season that was played with pairs. And what we would say coming down the stretch, ideally, what Natalie wants is to go to the end with John and Jacqueline, or go to the end with Missy and Baylor. So ideally, you know, if Natalie ends up going going to the final three with Tony and Sarah. Perhaps, you know, Tony doesn't end up getting 12 votes. Maybe he's getting, you know, 7 or 8 votes. Sarah's getting 4. It is a better chance she has to win again than against Michelle, who ends up taking away 0 votes.
Oh, that's really interesting. Like that it's better to be against Tony and Sarah both than one of them. And I was even just thinking like Natalie's ideal, you know, Natalie knows that Tony is the favorite right now. Mm-hmm. So for her, like she'd rather be like her favorite, her number one option has to be
Michelle
against
on the jury. Take a page out of Tony's book. Michelle would have been a vote for her.
Well, I'm thinking, though, her best option has to be against Michelle and Sarah, right? Like, she's got to be thinking she has the best shot against Michelle and Sarah rather than against Tony and yes. anyone, right? So, yeah. So if she takes Sarah to the finals, then, like, there is a shot that she gets her best option. And if she doesn't get her best option, then, yeah, Michelle's on the jury with as a vote for her. And you're right. Like Tony and Sarah splitting the vote. So I think you're probably right that because also, like, if she, you know, she's giving Sarah this chance to beat Tony, which is like a huge and would be another huge resume point for Sarah. I mean, I do think that there's the possibility that from Natalie's perspective, Michelle was more liked by the jury than Sarah was. But we don't know that for sure. And that sort of runs counter to the narrative we were saying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it was really incredible back and forth, the fire making challenge between Tony and Sarah. And I really feel like that this was one of the most emotional moments that we've ever seen on the show between two players. Like, we have certainly the loved ones visit brings out a lot of emotion, but I'm hard pressed to think of another I keep saying moment, and I want to keep saying it like Tony, but I'm trying to be serious. But
do it, Rob. Just own it.
Think of other moments that were as emotionally impactful between two players in the game that were so earned that we understood the bond as Tony and Sarah, and talking about how, you know, oh, like if anybody was going to take me out, I would want it to be him, just like I would want to be the one to take him out. And just like, I mean, Tony was certainly an emotional guy. He was a wreck. To see him win the fire and to not have the ecstasy, but to have the, you know, be distraught that he had to end the game for Sarah. It was such an amazing emotional moment in the history of Survivor.
Sierra voted out her mom, Rob.
That's true. That is true. But she did. She was stone cold about it. She was not broken up about it at all.
No. No, this was a really, truly one of the emotional moments of the, I mean, it really was incredible. Just this, you know, that hug they shared and like Tony being completely distraught. Yeah. And you know, it had, you know, so much history to it, which is, you know, we've seen these two, you know, play together 3 times now. And it was a great, you know, for many years, Survivor really resisted letting those outside the game relationships bleed into the show. You never heard talk about pregame alliances. That whole, you know, Michelle Wendell dynamic never would have happened, you know, before. And only this season, really for the first time, have they kind of let, like, acknowledge that those things are a big part of what happens on these all-star seasons. And it always felt phony to ignore them. And I really feel like this season was so much richer for having that context.
Could you imagine, Steven, where the season where we go back and it's me and you in the final four and they put us into the fire making challenge. Mono-y-mono. One of us is going to go on to win. The other one is going home. Just think about how emotionally distraught that we would be.
Oh my God. God, all I'd be thinking about is just how it was like, do you think they'd play Steven's The Best Know-It-All when I eliminated you? Would that be in the soundtrack?
You would be just unable to get to bring your head up. Waterworks. Oh, it would be such a
moment.
Yeah. So this would be so great. It would be so great. Yeah. But
it is sad that we
was incredible. Go
ahead. Yeah. I mean, it was, I'm trying to think. Yeah, I can't really think of anything where there was so much. I mean, like, you know, certainly some of those relationships in All Stars were super emotional with, like, you know, that sort of like Lex, Rob, Amber stuff, but like, but that was like nothing like this. That was antagonistic.
Like, the emotion was hatred. Like,
yeah. It was
not like mutual respect and just this complicated relationship that we had. It was like the Avengers Endgame. It was like bittersweet moment. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Incredible. So, kudos to everybody involved. And I did think that this was a very interesting night for Lacina, where we really learned a lot of things about her. She talked a lot about gender bias at the first tribal council. I was actually very surprised by some of the things that Jeff said in particular, sort of like recognizing things that he has been dragged for over 20 years of Survivor. And I felt like was apologetic about some of the things that he has said and the things that he didn't even know that he was saying wrong in the moment and apologizing for that. I thought that was incredible, Stephen.
Yeah, it was a big moment. It was really shocking and it was really interesting. I mean, and, you know, I hate to say it, but you know, it is interesting the way gender is, you know, is a part of Survivor, you know, and you know, the first 25 seasons of Survivor were half won by women and half won by men. And yeah, since season 25, there have been three female wins, I believe. Yeah, there's Sarah. There was
Michelle
and Natalie. Yeah, of course, Natalie. So I guess that's all three of them.
And they went on to show you exactly how good they are by being in the final four again.
That's pretty amazing. Yeah. That's actually shocking. Like the three women to win in the past 15 seasons were all in the final four tonight.
This is so good.
Wow. That is really incredible. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, it's crazy. Like there have been something about the game has changed or the way that the people are perceived in the game or something has changed, right?
Oh, where I think a lot of things have changed.
A lot of things have changed.
Yeah.
But now it's like, it is like really so predominantly won by men.
Yeah. I think, you know, there have been many things and we can, you know, do a whole podcast about this. The final four fire making being one of them and the final four fire making again resulted in Tony being in the final three and Sarah not. If it wasn't for the final four fire making, if that was a traditional vote at the final four, how does that vote go? Does Tony vote it out? I think so, right?
I think so, too. I do think so.
It really would test the bonds of Cops R Us, because that probably ends up being a 2-2 vote if Cops R Us sticks together. So maybe that does result in a fire making challenge.
Yeah.
Between Tony and Sarah, probably between Tony and Michelle.
Right. Which again, right. Like who knows how that turns out. You're right. It's the fire making challenge is the big thing. I mean, the thing that I always point to is just the incredible proliferation of advantages following those seasons. And, you know, for many years, it really seemed to be that a lot more men were finding those advantages in the idols. And just in the past few seasons, it seemed like a lot of the female players have made a point of being like, no, we're not going to stay at camp while you guys go off searching for idols. Like we're going to go looking for idols too. So I think there's probably a change coming.
But it was a great moment at the final five when after all those idols gets played, Tony is like, okay, everybody's going to go to sleep. I'm going to go out. I'm going to find. And I'm like, this was incredible. That like Tony had like a conch shell that he has. Like,
oh yeah.
Like Tony's figured it out. He's able to hunt for idols at nighttime. He's building fires out in the jungle. Nobody's looking for him. I'm like, okay, well, here we go. Tony finds the idol. And so he'll be immune here at the final five. He doesn't. The whole night goes by. And then Natalie ends up finding the idol, which really I felt like was a real game changer moment for the Survivor is Rigged crew, because you have Ben and Tony at the final five can't find an idol. Here's Natalie, the first boot of the season. And I tweeted about this. A couple people said, well, no, they want her because she's from the Edge of Extinction and Jeff loves the Edge of Extinction. So they're like, stop it. Stop it. This is
you've got to think that they would give it to Tony, right? If a Survivor were Rick.
You would think so. You would think so. That I feel like that this was a real counterpunch from Survivor on the planted idol crowd.
I know that I earlier said I was most shocked about Tony putting his hands in all those trees at night. I'm actually more shocked that the level of fatigue on Survivor is so high. You know, those few hours of sleep you're able to get are so precious. For Tony to basically go like days on end without sleeping at all, you know, to not sleep at all that night, and then he wins the immunity challenge, right? Like, yeah. He won the immunity challenge. Like, that's insane. Like, that's what day is this? Like 36 or whatever? Like, Tony, that's crazy.
Maybe has help from otherworldly spirits. He had a secret scene about this past week, Stephen, where he talked about how that everybody else has no energy, and as the game goes on, he has more energy. Perhaps he is sucking the energy dry from the other players.
He's a dementor.
He called himself a succubus. So
did he really?
Yes, he did.
That's so funny.
That's where he gets his strength from. So that was really
maybe
incredible.
He got amphetamines in his med kit. Maybe like the rest of them are taking vitamins. And he's got like,
I don't know. He's on another planet, Tony. And yeah, so
he's got like a Ritalin.
Yeah. He ends up going to the final three with Michelle and with Natalie. And I thought it was an interesting tribal council performance, as we've been talking about, that Tony didn't have a ton of like explanation for his game, that he said the basics, but no, he was really cutting it up with the jury. And I really can't remember too many other people, maybe Cochran and Karamoan, but I can't remember too many other people that just had the jury rolling.
Did Cochran tell a lot of, like, I mean, Cochran's hilarious, and so I do believe that, you know, people were laughing, but like I felt like he answered those questions very sincerely. You know, I remember someone asked him like, what's distinguished your game, and you know, his great answer was timing. I don't remember that much more than that about it, but like anything anyone asked Tony, he would just share like a funny anecdote. Like Rob asked him, you know, what was your superpower, you know, that enabled you to never get targeted or never get a vote cast against you? And like then he's like, I had this tree check, you know. And it's great because it gives him the chance to share like the great funny things he did, and it like seems to answer Rob's question of like how you were never targeted. Now, like, I don't think that, I mean, from what we saw, the tree shack was not some like crucial part of Tony game, but you know, it's such a great you know, it answers the question, it gives a funny story, you know, and then the jury loves it, and like they need to like want to vote for you to win. Like, that's what JT said to me, you know, and I've that's really stuck with me. Like, you know, you need to make the jury want you to win.
Stephen, tonight a lot of the talk going into this was going to be, oh, we were going to get like this virtual finale on Zoom. Do you get the sense that they scrapped this idea?
Well, they did. I mean, we know that they did, right? Like, they sent out a bunch of equipment to all the finalists. They were like, no, look, bring it back.
Yeah.
Send it back.
What do you think? Was it the tech? Was
not all the finalists, all the players.
Yeah. You feel like that the tech was faulty, or do you feel like that the episode ended up like was it a factor of that? Did they like leave the episode fat because that they weren't going to do the stuff with the reunion, or the stuff with the reunion, the tech wasn't good, so they went back and lengthened parts of the episode?
I bet it was a combination. You know, we've all had a lot of Zoom calls in the last couple of weeks and months. And I think probably anyone who's been on one of those Zoom calls realizes that like a 20 person Zoom call is probably not going to like be compelling television for anyone. You know, like it's just not going to be good, you know. And I think the other issue is that Jeff would lose a lot of control from that. Right. Like if someone like goes long, they can't be like, oh, let's cut it over to that person, you know, in a way that like Jeff can maybe more corral things finale. So I think that it's probably like, you know, hey, we've got this incredible finale, so many great moments, like this whole like Zoom final finale just kind of seems like it's gonna suck, like let's just do a live episode.
It's probably the right call. It did seem super rushed though with Tony, with it, you know, they spent, you know, what, 60 seconds with Tony after he won.
Yeah, but, you know, I mean, what are you going to, like, what else are we going to do? Just be like, hey, talk more about this million and how great it was and how great this episode was. Yeah, it's true. It would be great to have a finale. Like, I hope someday they, like, go back and do this finale, you know?
Yeah, that was really incredible. But, Stephen, at the end of the episode, how about this nugget that Jeff Probst dropped on us, that he said that, hey, and in terms of Survivor 41, we are committed to having Survivor on the air this fall. Stephen, does this mean Survivor Wild Wild West is coming this fall?
Maybe, yeah. You don't need to be you know, within 6 feet of each other to play Survivor.
Well, look, we don't need to break this all down right now, but you know, in a few months, that if you had, I mean, once the contestants are sort of you know, quarantined for a period of time, they're good to go. It's just a matter of the crew, and they could easily socially distance on Survivor. I think that the production, I think that they don't need to get too close to anybody.
Yeah. Okay. I'm in.
Okay. But no, I thought that was a big step from Survivor to announce that we are moving forward with Survivor for the fall season.
Crazy. I thought we were going to get a 9-month hiatus here, Rob.
I mean, I thought at the very, they would say, "Hey, Survivor, we don't know we'll be back, but we will be back." Yeah. May I mark our
words. No one's going to hold him to that. He's not giving you a hostage to hold if he doesn't, you know, he doesn't follow through on it.
Well, but he is saying that we are working on some interesting ideas, which I took to mean Wild Wild West. And then we will be on in the fall. And they said, hey, you can apply if you're 16 years old or you have cool
parents. That was crazy. I sort of was like getting ready for this. Did he actually say like, if you have parents?
I'll have to go back and watch it, but I believe he said that, you know, as young as 16 years old, and I don't know if they're looking at maybe, could it be some sort of like a non all-star blood versus water where we have some sort of like families playing Survivor together? It did not go great on The Amazing Race. Is that a possibility?
Yeah, but the 16 thing is crazy. Like, could that be? There's got to be huge liability issues. Like, I mean, maybe it is in America. You know, maybe there's like, I would think that taking a 16-year-old to a foreign country, there's got to be like crazy liability. Maybe it is the Wild Wild West.
Yeah, so that might be a wild of some sort of like frontier life Survivor. Now we're gonna bring her in teenagers. You know, I think that Jeff loves these ideas about family. So we'll see. We'll see what happens, and we'll see if we get more information in the next couple of weeks about all of that. All right, we'll take questions from you guys. Hashtag RHAP. Steven, anything else you want to say about the finale?
I mean, there's not much to say. I you know, it was had to be hard for Michelle to just sit there like with a smile on her face as like the 60 votes got read and none of them were for her. Mm-hmm. But she did it. So kudos to her. She's an incredibly kind, generous person. And she like was like, gave you know, the heartiest round of applause for Tony came from Michelle, I felt.
Hey, I think that Michelle is a great night for New Jersey. First off, between Michelle and Tony and Natalie getting to the final three. I think Michelle is a good sport. She's been through a lot. I think it was probably harder for her when she won and people like said Aubrey should have won. I think that, you know, Michelle probably would like to win, but I don't think that this is anything that Michelle is having too much trouble getting through. I think she should have gotten a couple more votes, and I thought she had a great season and a great run. She came out here. If you were a Michelle fan, Michelle came out here, delivered everything you could have expected from Michelle. She did Michelle things. She had a chip on her shoulder.
Kicked the puzzle.
She kicked the puzzle. She gave you good confessionals. She's got a fire in her. So good for Michelle. I thought she did a great job.
Missing one thing though.
What's that?
Bro, I know. We didn't get a bro, I know.
Okay.
If I were Michelle, I'd just be like working it into like every time Jeff was like, wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
Like, bro, I know.
Yeah. Okay.
You got to like the catchphrase, you know, you got to work it in.
Yeah. Okay. Maybe she should get the t-shirts going. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's get some more questions from you guys on a jam-packed finale night. Alex Richards, are you disappointed with the lack of strategy talk at the final tribal?
Are you?
And what strategy did you want to talk about?
Yeah, I mean, it did seem like, you know, tone, like it's hard because it didn't seem like there was any question of like who was running the strategy of the game, right? Like Natalie can't talk about like, you know, the strategic move she pulled off. And Michelle said like, hey, I'm the underdog here. So like, I mean, it did seem like Tony could have maybe talked more about, hey, I did this and I got these people to vote with these people. But it doesn't he risk alienating people if he does that? Yeah, like, doesn't he risk like pissing people off? There?
Like, did it like, so out of you three, who is the real mastermind of everything? Like, yeah, we know. Okay, bro, we know.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, it would have been more interesting if it was like a Tony V. I actually would have loved to see the Tony V. Sarah conversation where they were sort of justifying their games against each other.
And actually, I think Tony probably did the like, oh, that was nothing. I was up in the spy shack. I heard you guys.
Right.
It was like,
yeah, exactly.
If Tony was like, oh, my God, I outplayed all of you. You all a bunch of idiots. Like, it would be like, all right, so, you know what? Screw you, Tony. He played it perfectly. Like, he disarmed a potentially hostile crowd.
I think that's right. And I think that was like, you know, I mentioned earlier, like Cochran's response about like, what does, you know, when someone, whoever it was, asked him like, what distinguished your game? And, you know, what Cochran said was like, hey, I wasn't necessarily the smartest. I wasn't necessarily like the most physical. I wasn't even necessarily the most strategic. I just had the best timing. And that let everyone on the jury be like, oh, I'm really the smartest and the most strategic, you know, like, to not threaten the jury and make them feel bad, I think is really important. I think you're right that this was Tony's strategy of doing that, of being like, hey, yeah, I had my antics. Like I had the most antics, and like, that's sort of what distinguished me.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then like all those, like, you know, all the big egos on the jury can be like, yeah, I'm still the greatest. But you just had antics.
You just had a tree. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. You just had a tree. Okay. Yeah.
What does Colby have to say?
All right. Colby Noble wants to say, is Michelle the best 2-time Survivor player? She's the only player to play twice and never be voted out. Only winner this season, never once voted out.
I would have a hard time saying that Michelle is the best 2-time Survivor player. Michelle's an amazing Survivor player, and I think she might even be the modern day Sandra, where that she really is the master of anybody but me, and she's actually even better at that because then she can get down to the end and win challenges and potentially get herself into the finals like she did in Survivor Koh Rong, and like we saw that she was close to doing here. So Michelle's an incredible player. I think it's hard to say that I would rank her one of any 2-time Survivor player.
Yeah, I mean, one thing we haven't talked about yet, Rob, is, you know, something we have talked about a lot, which is that it would be very hard. We've said multiple times this season, it would be very hard for someone without a family, without kids, to come in and win against someone with a family. In this season, we talked about how like the best final three would be Michelle, Nick, and whoever, Natalie, you know, if they wanted to win. And, you know, here we had it, right? Where Tony, the one guy with a family, just blew the other two out of the water. You know, maybe the thing Michelle is lacking, maybe she needs to go get go get some kids.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So
go find some kids.
So we'll see. We'll see what happens there when Michelle plays the third time. Okay. Staff member says, do you see any scenario where Tony got to the final three and wouldn't win? Could you see the scenario where he doesn't win, Steven?
I don't know who it's against. You know, I mean, it sure seemed like he played the biggest game. I mean, the fact he had 4 immunity wins, you know, he idle plays, you know, obviously a lot of big strategic moves. Like Tony played one of the best games we've ever seen. Like, right. Like, can we just say that? Like, I can't think of like
incredible.
There have certainly been. Like, who else? I mean, and the fact that it was against all these great players is just. You know, I'm not saying it enough. Like that game, he played such an amazing game.
Yeah. I mean, we've been saying it over the last couple of weeks, what a great job Tony has been doing. So it's not like a major surprise here tonight, even though it did look like it was close for Tony a couple times tonight. I do wonder, you know, if we would have gotten to see Sarah in the final three versus Tony. I do think that Sarah did a great job of like laying the groundwork for what her final jury speech and what her argument was going to be over those last couple of tribal councils. And I wonder if she would have been able to pick up the votes of maybe all of the women on the jury after what she was talking about in the final 6 tribal council.
I mean, who's to say, right? I mean, I don't think that, you know, I think that maybe that resonated with a lot of those players. I don't think that they would necessarily vote entirely based on that, right?
No, like, but I wonder how many votes she could have picked up, because I kind of felt like that going into it. In thinking about Tony versus Sarah, I did kind of feel like, okay, well, I think she has Sophie. I think she has Kim. I think she has Denise. So I think there were already a lot of the women on the jury that were probably leaning towards Sarah, but could that be the difference to picking up a Danny, picking up a like, I think Rob and Amber were probably going to be a block no matter what. But were there other potential women that were on the jury that she would have been able to potentially pick up?
Yeah. you know, it would have been really interesting to see them sort of highlight their two games and the different aspects of them. And it's possible that in that case, you would really have gotten into specific moves. You know, like from my perspective, the move of this season was Tony voting out Sophie. I think that was probably the best thing he did all season. Mm-hmm. It really isolated Sarah. It forced her to kind of stick with him. It put him sort of in the driver's seat of that group. And it had all of his various allies voting against each other. So suddenly, like, they couldn't then, you know, put, you know, suddenly team up against him. Yeah. It was such a great move.
I wonder the Sarah, Tony, Natalie tribal council. I wonder how that would have been if there would have been enough votes there still for Tony if Natalie ends up still taking about 4 of the votes. So now between those 12, if you split them up, could Sarah get 7 out of the 12?
Maybe. Yeah, I don't know.
You know, if we say she has people like, you know, now, and she probably has Ben also, you know, if she has Sarah, or she has Sophie, Kim, Ben, Denise, you know, what does Michelle do? Michelle's probably a vote for Natalie. You know, I think that's actually kind of an interesting vote to see how it plays out.
Poverty? Where does Poverty vote?
Poverty voted for Natalie tonight, so I would imagine she's still...
Well, right, but if Sarah's there, yeah, probably still Natalie.
Yeah, they had no interaction in the game, so I would think that she's probably still Natalie.
We saw, let's talk about the Natalie votes, right? It was Tyson and Jeremy. You know, we know that Jeremy is super close with Natalie. It seems Tyson is super close with Natalie. He says something on Twitter about how close he is with her.
She bought him an idol. I mean, I think that's
she
like
bought him an idol.
Quo.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. What about Parvati and Ethan? Why do you think they voted for Natalie?
I mean, Dalton Ross had something today about how in the log carrying challenge, there was a point where there was a rule where if Ethan couldn't finish the challenge, somebody could go up and get the logs and then take his fire token. Natalie was going to go and get the fire token when it looked like Ethan couldn't finish. She ended up like stopping at the point where that Ethan was able to continue to allow him to collect the fire token. They were together for probably almost 30 days on the edge of extinction. I think it just comes down to a relationship there. And then it seems like that Parvati and Natalie, we saw them a lot in the second half of the season together on the edge of extinction. I think they had a bond.
Yep.
And yeah. I don't think that tracks. Complicated. Yeah.
Yeah. Makes sense to me. I mean, we certainly saw Parvati and Natalie together a lot. And yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. Let's keep going with some more questions. Steven, what about Mary?
All right, Mary Conway wants to know, Michelle gave a good final tribal council performance. Do you think she could have said anything else, or was this tribal just a formality?
Look, I think that she might have been able to say something to get a vote or two, but my sense is, you know, I don't think there's anything she could have said that could have gotten her, you know, 8 votes.
Yeah.
You know.
Is Tony the GOAT? Is he the greatest?
I think that's a great question that we'll be able to have to talk about over these next couple of months. I mean, if he's not, who is?
Well, I mean, greatest is such a weird idea, right? Like, again, like, you know, Rob had such a huge target on him coming into this season. So it's like, what could Rob have done where Tony didn't have such a huge target coming in? You know, someone like Tyson also, like, there was so much heat on that poker player alliance. For whatever reason, there wasn't heat on Tony. But all that said, I mean, you know, it's definitely one of the great games of all time. Like, I always find, like, play, you know how I feel about player rankings.
Right.
It's everything is so situational, you know, to be cast with your best ally from 2 seasons of Survivor, you know, but like somehow they weren't targeted, right? Like somehow like Natalie and Jeremy were a huge target, but Tony and Sarah weren't. Like, was that because of their skill or was that because of just, you know, luck? You know, so it's so hard to weigh those things.
Yeah.
But the fact that Tony played this incredible game against what I definitely think is the best cast the show has ever had in terms of strategically. Yes. It really is a testament to his skill.
Yeah, I might have to say, as we're like, you know, talking about the players as they stand now, this Tony 2.0, I think might be the best player that we've ever seen, because that he was able to change up his game to fit this season, to be able to, I mean, when we talk about like the total package now at this point, he's a guy who has a social game, Like people like being around him. Also an incredible strategist, can find all the idols and advantages, tireless around camp, won four immunities. I mean, I think if you were going to be trying to build the perfect survivor, I mean, this Tony 2.0, he did not make any of the mistakes that Tony 1.0 famously made, where we talked a lot about how he would, run 5 miles, making a bunch of mistakes, and then have to run 30 miles to have to go back and fix everything he made to ultimately get back on the right side of things. He played this flawless game. I mean, it's a very hard to find. What was the mistake he made?
Yeah. I mean,
not convincing everybody to listen to him at the final six.
Yeah, that was probably it. And like, you know, to some degree, going with your alliance when, you know, they're being dogmatic is a strength, right, of a player. And it really a great game. I mean, why? And Sarah not voting him out, right? That's the mistake that Sarah made. Like, if she had voted him out at some point,
which point?
It seems like, I mean, you know, there was that time that Michelle went to her, right? It was like, you're totally overshadowed by Tony. Like, you know, why not take a stab? But you're right. Like, then Sarah risks being gone herself.
Yeah, it's tough because with the Edge of Extinction, then, you know, the Edge of Extinction person was going to come back. So Sarah is in a position where now, let's say hypothetically, at the final six last week, she votes out Tony. She votes with Nick and Michelle, and they're ultimately, maybe they get Denise on board to blindside. Okay, now we voted out Tony. Now here comes Natalie back from the Edge of Extinction. Natalie's probably going to vote with Michelle and Nick. Is she going to go to Rocks here? Is this going to be a 3-3?
Yeah.
So,
that's the thing. Yeah. Go. If you blindside your best ally, then you're totally exposed.
Yeah. So it was a tough situation for Sarah. I think that she felt like her best road to the end was to be able to, I think she thought she was going to be able to, with her social game, be able to get the votes against Tony. We'll never know. I am dying to talk to Sarah. That is one of the interviews that I really want to get after the season.
Yeah, I think so. That would be a really great interview.
Yeah, I'm very much looking forward to that. I hope I get the chance to do it. Okay, Steven, let's take some more questions here tonight on finale night. Okay, Steven, Allison Drake says, surprised more of Tony's strategic prowess wasn't discussed at Final Tribal Council. His move to take out Sophie was perhaps the best strategic play, isolating Sarah and solidifying his alliance. Obviously, it worked out for him, but he focused more on his advantages and wins than his strategy. Yeah, I just think, as we talked about, you know, it wasn't even comparable, the strategic moves that Tony made compared to the other two. So he already had won that point. No need to rub everybody's faces in what he did strategically.
Yeah. And also, like, sometimes when you're discussing specific moves, I mean, like, maybe if there's like some big player who like dominated the season and Tony's like, hey, I was the one who took out this player. But sometimes it becomes very like much like he said, she said, in a way that's like, you know, and then I did that to you and that to you. It becomes like granular in a way that loses some of the narrative of like the big picture of what of, you know, your game or that you're trying to present. So I think it can be, you know, like Rob is saying, I think it can be a little bit dangerous.
Okay, what about Faison?
All right, Faison wants to know, should Sarah be faulted for allowing Tony to use his finance while she had exposed conversations, robbing her of any agency to manipulate the truth in front of Tony, which otherwise could have helped her? Interesting question.
Well, we don't really know what Sarah's spin was going to be on the spy nest, where, you know, that maybe in the Final Tribal Council, she's like, yeah, Tony was up in the tree and I was the one out there having conversations with everybody, doing all the strategy talk. So yeah, I let Tony, I said, here, Tony, go climb a tree. I'll be the one who's going to be driving the bus. And she's the one, working on building these bonds and letting Tony go out and run in the woods, where she's staying back and building some of these social relationships. So I think that she probably would have had her own way of spinning that.
Yeah, I think that was my thought too. That's what I thought her final speech was going to be. I think that would have been a really fun final, you know, a final two against the two of them, and then also maybe Natalie, I guess, is there as well.
Yeah.
All right. Heather Rogers wants to know, why on earth would Sarah not join Natalie and Michelle to take out Tony at the final five? Was that her $2 million mistake?
Well, Tony, I believe. Yeah. Had immunity at
he was
final
immune
five.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, Tony was immune at the final five, so that's why.
Yeah, And he had an idol at the final six. So the only spot that she had a crack at Tony was at the final four fire making. And ultimately, she came up just short on that one. Josh Lobin, why were Natalie and Michelle so content to vote out Denise on the revote? Voting Sarah sends them to fire, making an opportunity for Tony's key ally to be taken out and the opportunity to pitch Denise final three. We touched on this. Maybe it was that there was a relationship between Sarah and Natalie going back to even on the edge of extinction. Stephen, we saw Natalie send an advantage into the game to Sarah. So that perhaps that there was a relationship even from before the game started, that Natalie felt like she could have voted with Sarah. So I think that that really had a lot to do with it.
And why give someone else an extra resume point? You know, like, why, if you send someone to fire, suddenly they've got like, oh, hey, I fought you. You all watched me fight my way back into the game. Mm-hmm. You know, why not just eliminate someone cleanly rather than give them the chance to prove themselves right in front of the jury?
OK.
All right. What Chabby will be wants to know, do you think Natalie shot herself in the foot by revealing all those advantages she sent to some people that hurt other people's game on the jury? Interesting question.
No, what is she, Natalie's not supposed to talk about what advantages she found. Like, she doesn't have a lot to talk about.
Yeah. And also, I think it sounds like everyone knew about them. So it wasn't like it was a big secret.
You know what I thought was interesting? And it was kind of like a weird subplot that came out of nowhere, was that Boston Rob asked Natalie about.
I was just going to bring this up.
Hey, how come you were not interacting with us? Was there some sort of a tiff on the edge of extinction where Natalie ended up like sort of like going into game mode and ended up like freezing out a bunch of the old school players?
And we did see like her and Parvati kind of be like, hey, we're not going to share this stuff with everybody else. I mean, to Rob's point, it's like not the best idea. If like you're totally reliant, the best case scenario here is that you win your way back into the game and that the bonds you made on Edge like somehow like serve you to win you the money. Like to isolate yourself from those people is not necessarily the best. But, you know, Natalie's point was like, this is who I am. You know, I didn't want to like, you know, piss you guys off.
I also thought it was not great for Natalie to, you know, be talking about how like I came into the game. My plan was to let everybody here know Tony is the biggest threat. And I feel like that Rob kind of touched on that with the fire making. It's like, yeah. But you're here with Tony. So this was kind of a failure for you that if you're saying that you came back with this information of, hey, if we don't get Tony out, he's going to win. You ended up here with Tony. So you kind of needed to get Tony out to say that this was an effective strategy.
Yeah. And that was sort of like, again, the Chris Underwood model of like he pointed out the big threat was Devins and he personally took out Devins. And, you know, that was you got to like if you're not the Dragon Slayer, who are you? I always ask myself.
Yeah. Hey, no Natalie can ever win a final tribal council when I'm around. It's my mission. All right. Well, says that Natalie's return from the edge of extinction and making the final three took away Michelle as the underdog story in the eyes of the jury. Could Michelle have won if she sat next to Sarah and Tony at the final tribal council? Steven, I suspect not, but I think she doesn't get zero votes. I think she gets a Jeremy vote. I think she gets a Parvati vote. I think that there's a couple of votes that are up for grabs for her that I thought she was kind of dangerous to be the person to be sort of like the Sandra sitting next to Parvati and Russell in Heroes versus Villains. But I think that probably she doesn't have that upside. But I do think that ultimately she would have done better in that scenario.
That's a great point. You know, it really is that the jury roots so hard for the underdog, but the ultimate underdog is the person who comes back from the edge of extinction. Mm-hmm. And so it did sort of defang some of, you know, what probably were Michelle's more compelling points. I don't necessarily agree with you that Jeremy would have voted for Michelle in that case. We certainly saw that they had a relationship throughout the show. They know each other, New Englanders, from outside the game. But I do think that Jeremy is a strategy guy and he's going to reward good gameplay.
Let's ask him.
Yeah. Maybe we could ask him.
Yeah.
He's probably late there. Can't text him now.
If I can get him on the podcast, well, I'll ask him.
Oh, yeah. You're right, because he knows Michelle out of the game, so I guess there's a chance. But anyway, I do think you're right that she probably picks up a couple of votes.
Yeah,
the sort of like, you know, the people who don't want to see the Tony Sarah Block win.
Okay, All right. This is from Cameron. Was Tony sandbagging in his prep for the fire making challenge?
Cameron, you're killing me here.
Steven.
Cameron.
Was Tony throwing the prep for fire making?
Why? Why on earth would he do that? Like, if he wanted to, you have every strategic reason to prepare as well as you can. A, both to actually prepare. B, to intimidate your opponents.
Yeah.
There's no reason to badly prepare for fire making.
Maybe he wanted to go into the fire, the final four fire making.
Yeah.
Maybe. But, what do you think?
Yeah, I don't know. Probably not.
Okay. Yeah, I would think probably. I don't think he was sandbagging the prep. I would think not. I think he might have been downplaying it a little bit in confessional, but I think Tony knows what he's doing. Okay, Zach Brooks asks Stephen Fishback what he thinks about the final immunity challenge since he's done it. Oh yeah.
Oh my God, it's another trauma. I relive that. I literally relived that challenge probably certainly every day, you know, probably like every hour for a couple of years. But I, even today, you know, cause I was doing it wrong. I was eyeballing the balls, but the correct way to do this challenge is to count the, this is so stupid. Of course, this is the correct way, right? Which JT was doing. And I'm sure probably anyone who has won this challenge has done. You count the time that it takes one ball to go the whole distance of, you know, in your head, and you know, 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, 1,000. And then you divide that up by the number of balls you have. Of course, it's like, I'm honestly like the fact that I was like trying to eyeball
it. Obvious.
Well, now after 10 years of thinking about it, it's obvious.
Yeah.
well, look, I certainly didn't figure it out at the time. I was just doing it by eyeball. But it's hard. And, yeah. And like those balls come like shooting out of that thing.
Yeah. Natalie had a couple of like, great catches too.
Yeah. Okay. Well, then not like this, you know, just like this, cause it's one hand tied behind her back.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. How about this from Amara?
For those listening, Rob was using both of his hands to mime catching, and I corrected him to suggest that it was just one hand.
Yes,
that
he would, Steven is very specific on his miming. He's been to mime school.
I have been to mime school.
Yes.
All right. Amara Frawley wants to know, what is the point of having a final three if there's always going to be a zero vote finalist?
Well, what do you want to do? You want to vote somebody out and then get it down to a final two of like, all right, who do we have a person? Is anybody not going to vote for a person? All right, you're out. You're on the jury. I mean, what do you want? What do you want?
Yeah, and then the issue is that that person is typically makes it anyway, and it's the person who, you know, ends up winning that actually would have often gets voted out. It's the Rob Cesternino spot.
Yes, all Jersey final three, y'all. Yes, from Dalton Ross. Yes, a lot of funny people tweeting about that. Okay. Wyatt says, where do you put this season in the grand scheme of Survivor? While the old schoolers going out early were disappointing, there's a lot of unique and exciting gameplay from a unique and exciting cast. Is it a top 10 season? Steven, last week, I believe you said it was a top 15 season.
I will be honest. I loved the ending of this season. Yeah. I thought there were so many great moments. I think this was a superb finale. It redeemed a lot of what I felt was wrong with this season. I still have a lot of issues with the season. My biggest complaint is that I felt like we just did not get enough strategy. I felt like this season promised to be like epic strategy from some of the great players of the show. We, for many, many episodes, we saw very like high level, you know, very thin strategic rationale because so much time was spent on the edge and on advantages. To me, that like is a huge drag on the quality of the season. And ultimately, I mean, probably I would put it at the back half of the top 10. I don't know. I'd have to see what the actual like seasons were. Yeah. It's definitely not top five for me, but I think probably back half of the top 10.
Okay,
hold on. Can I say, let me make one addition to that. I said something similar to this last week, you know, hey, like this was not a top 10 season for me. I saw so many people commenting like, how dare Fishback say that? He's so stupid. He's wrong. This is a very subjective. Yeah. Yeah. This is a very subjective thing. So if you disagree with me about what a top 10 season of Survivor is, that's cool. Like you have your own top 10. We all have our own.
Steven doesn't agree with you even on rankings. He thinks they're arbitrary and reductive.
Yeah, exactly. But people were so mad at me in the YouTube comments for this about like,
YouTube comments
about like my rankings. They're like, how could he say that about Cambodia? Cambodia top five season? That's outrageous. Like, I like Cambodia. I had a lot of great memories. Yeah. Watching it back was, you know, a lot of terrible memories too. But people, it's like, I'm not trying to tell you what your opinion should be or what your ranking should be. I'm just sharing my opinion and my ranking.
Yeah, no. And everybody on YouTube, I actually agree with you. You guys are actually correct. You're right. YouTube commenters. Those are the worst people to make mad.
Oh, I agree. Well, look, I'm out there, you know, and I just want to say, you know, to all your YouTube commenters, I'm out there reading. So anything, you know, nice you want to share about me, it's welcome.
Yes. Okay. All right, let's do one or two more questions here tonight, yeah. Scott. Okay. Let's do this one from Josh. I'm ready for 4 hours with Tony and 3 hours with each of the other 19 winners. We all have the time. Look, I am very excited to do postseason interviews with this group. I don't know how eager necessarily, like a lot of times with these first time players, Steven, that they are really like, you know, just jumping out of their skin
right.
to do these interviews. For these players, especially winners who came back and didn't win this season, I'm not sure how many of them are really just clamoring for, oh, I want to do a, you know, 4 hour interview about my season.
Yeah. I mean, maybe some people who didn't feel like their journey kind of got, you know, recognized to the extent that they feel like it should have been, you know. I think probably, you know, like I was saying, not a lot of strategy was shown. I would be, you know, any one of these people who was,
yeah,
you know, I who really I want to, I want to say, I want the Kim.
Do it. I really hope they want to do it. But a lot of them also have kids. It's hard to, you know, make the time to do it, to spend these hours, talking to me. But, I really hope that we get to do a bunch of them. And if, listen, we've got a team of people standing by waiting to, if anything should happen to me, Steven, we have a team of people who are, clamoring to do the interviews.
No.
Okay.
What's going to happen to you? Survivor 41?
Well, you know, I might get burnt out after doing 11 interviews.
Survivor 41?
Yeah. Survivor 41 could start. Yeah. All right.
No, are you on
Survivor 41?
Yeah. That's what I was saying.
What am I, 16? Okay. All right. Next season, Survivor Meet Me in the Middle, filmed in the vast nothingness of Nebraska. Where's Jeff from? Kansas, right?
Kansas.
Yeah. So Survivor 41, home sweet home. Okay. What is this? What is Scott putting up? A chart. Let's see. Can you read this?
This is the most money won by game show winners. Number one, Ken Jennings at $5,223,414.
Has it been updated yet?
Well, this is with his Tournament of Champions, I think. Winnings, because previous to that, Brad Rutter. Oh, this does not have Tony on it, but Tony is still not in the top three here. Brad Rutter was $5,153,436. Oh, this is actually going to be interesting. James Holzhauer is $3,022,549. I guess this just Tony comes down to how much Tony made on finales. Game Changers.
Yes.
Well, but is that contest winnings? I don't think that's contest winnings. I think that's earned. I think this is
what did
I think,
Tony make in Survivor Game Changers?
Yeah, because I top think three, the finale baby. Money yes. is like not contest winnings. So I think this that the I don't think 22,000 for like 17th place. So I think he's probably just underneath.
I don't think he cares.
Four is good. Top four, baby.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah. Let's talk about what's going on. News AF, of course. People love Nature with Tyson on the Instagram.
Oh my God, I love it so much.
So it's incredible. My kids are going crazy for Nature with Tyson on Instagram. We talked about a woman who carried a cracked duck egg on her person for 35 days.
Why?
Trying to make Tyson look bad on the latest News AF with Danny and Tyson. Check that out. Of course, on the latest Purple Pants podcast, you could hear the great Purple Pants badass of Bryce Isaiah talk about everything going on in his world, and on the Taryn Survivor finale update, Taryn is going to be talking with Brendan the actor from the recent Sequester influencer game, and Taryn will update the Legacy Watch for the final time this season with a special guest.
Is it Brendan the actor?
No, with a special guest that I will be joining Taryn's Survivor Update on Thursday he updates the Legacy Watch for the final time this season. Then on the finale feedback show, Allie Lasher will join me. Get your feedback questions in robswebsite.com/voicemail 323-282-RHAP. Survivor at robswebsite.com. The great Nick. What do you call him?
Sister Nino.
Wow. Yeah. Jason Linder-Ninas, Iadanza. Okay, Nick Iadanza is going to join Shannon Gus on the Survivor Global to talk about everything that's going on. Gabby Piscuzzi will be on the finale of the RHAP B&B. Check that out. That should be a lot of fun with Gabby. And then find out why Tony won with David and Jessica this weekend. That should be great. It'll also cover everything else with everybody that lost. And then Kellen Bechtold will be join us for This Week in Survivor this weekend on the season finale of This Week in Survivor. And then, of course, also the Wiggle Room as well with the final wand off coming up on Monday. Of course, Stephen Fishback, we have raised a lot of money for the PPE with directrelief.org that through the back from April 1st all the way through now, that people who became a patron, that we donated their contributions, and then I made a matching contribution that we were close to $11,000 in terms of what we were able to raise between the patron contributions and my matching contributions. Mike Bloom had offered that if we got to $23,000 total between that money and our PayPal or GoFundMe, robswebsite.com/PPE charity, he would be getting a Survivor tattoo. And I can tell you at this hour that we have surpassed that fundraising goal.
Oh my God. What is the tattoo? Is it the logo? Like what's it going to be? Well, Tony's face.
No, here's the best part, Stephen. We are going to be doing a brand steal with 16, 18
tattoos?
Or 20 tattoos. And the winner goes on Mike Bloom's body.
Are you kidding? That's insane, Mike. Are you out of your mind?
He's crazy for Survivor.
Wow.
Mike Bloom.
Should we get tattoos of each other?
Yes. Yeah, you go first. Okay. All right. So thank you. $13,875 raised in the GoFundMe, which was really incredible. So
that's amazing. Yeah, that's total, really amazing.
I think we're probably just under $25,000 raised. So
wow.
That's a really incredible job, everybody. So Winners at War. We had a great season of podcasting, and a lot of money got raised for directrelief.org thanks to the generous contributions of the listeners of Rob as a Podcast. So that's really incredible, and I'm very proud of what we were able to accomplish this season.
Yeah. Well, that's amazing.
Yeah. All right. Stephen Fishback. Who got the fishy tonight?
It was Tyson. It was Tony. Oh, okay. It was Tony. Yeah. It was Tony. Of course, great, really like one of the, there's obviously been a lot of really great games out there, but like, this is one of the best. This is definitely, that's something I would love to, you know, like who played the greatest game of all time. If we could only rank that.
Yes. Is that what you want? A ranking of like best?
I don't
want
to participate.
Games? Yeah.
I don't want to participate. I'd be curious what people think. I don't try to see what people think. I just don't. It's just like my brain doesn't work that way. So I like, you know, I,
let me I'm ask not, you how you feel about this. Okay. Let me ask a real insider what you think about this. So I have not done any sort of big polling of the audience since I think after the summer Tony originally won back in 2014. So it's been 6 years since we've done anything like that. If we did some sort of a top 40 player rankings for season 40, does the world not need that? Is that the kind of thing that just makes everybody upset?
Well, I never like those because I feel like I'm not in them. You know, I feel like, well, you know, I don't know. It's a fun thing.
How far do you feel like that we need to go to get you included? And or if like,
I don't want to know. Yeah. I don't want to know.
Would you rather just be left off the top 40?
Yeah, I would probably just not look. I myself would not be clicking into that because I would not want to see where I fell.
Yeah. As somebody who feels like the lists are arbitrary and reductive to begin with, is that a good idea or a bad idea?
Well, you know, if it provides people joy, then, you know, whatever provides people joy is a good idea, Rob.
Yeah. I still want people to get upset.
Who's getting upset? The players?
Yeah. Okay.
Probably. We'll see. If that's, you know, your obligation is not to the players.
Yeah, no, it is. You're right. My obligation is to the audience, but then I also, want to, you know, also be respectful to the players too.
Right.
So we'll
screw them.
No. All right. Sounds like a plan. All right, Stephen, anything else you'll say? When is the next time we're going to podcast again? The season 41 premiere?
What's the song going to be for the 16-year-old survivor?
Wow, 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 wow. Yeah.
Well, like can't argue with through. That. Oh, I see. I did not know what that was.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry. By the way, my voice is a little hoarse, like the horse that Jeff Probst is going to ride in to say, the great Western United States. The final frontier for American pioneers. These gold mines have been abandoned since the gold rush of 1849.
It actually would be cool. Yeah. Pretty cool.
A new group of American settlers are here to create their own society.
I mean, I love that theming.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
And someone's a robot, but you don't know who? If they had an AI compete.
Yeah. It's pretty exciting. Okay. Yeah. Survivor West, One World. Survivor West Worlds Apart. Is that what you like? Okay. Yeah. All right. So, Stephen, this was so much fun that we got to podcast the finale, which we don't get to do every single season.
I know. This has been like years, right? Since we've done that?
Or the last one. I think we
okay, whatever. I blocked out. Yeah, exactly.
But I think that before that, it might have been since Ko Rong, maybe? It's been a minute since we did a finale live before last season. So, anyway, Stephen, thank you for all your great work this season. Be sure to follow at Stephen Fishback. Be sure to not write anything rude about Stephen in the YouTube comments as well.
Thank you. Thanks, Rob. Okay.
All right. And for everybody else, that we will be back with our interviews with the final three. I'm very excited about that. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast, robswebsite.com/iTunes. We got a lot still coming up here. I know it's the Survivor off season, but maybe a shorter off season than we anticipated. I don't want to get our hopes too high tonight, but look, on a night where Tony Vlachos can win Survivor for the second time, anything can happen. For Rob Sister and Stephen Fishback, good night, everybody.
Good night.